Well, good evening. Welcome to our course on the covenants. Well, we're going to turn to our subject. Let's pray, then we'll turn to the Bible. Let's pray. Father, we pray. We pray a blessing on each of our lives. Father, we are so satisfied with you, with all you've given us, but Lord, there's also a dissatisfaction in our hearts. We want to go on with you. We want a deeper walk with you. And we pray you will stir our hearts to long for deeper things, more power, more closeness. But Lord, you don't just stir us, you also fulfill. You give the fullness of the Spirit. And we pray you will stir our hearts to lay hold of your covenant and your promises, and that our lives will change for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to this great subject, the covenants. And if you know anything about this subject, you will know that when you hold your Bible, you hold two covenants, the Old and the New. The word Testament, which you have printed at the front of the Old Testament and then the New Testament, that is the word, the English word, covenant. It's got different ways of saying it. Testament is one, a covenant. A will is another. And when we look at this subject, we realize that you cannot escape it in the pages of the Bible, this great subject of the covenants. And tonight I'm going to start, I don't know if I'll be able to go on to start the book of Hebrews tonight, but tonight we're going to start with a review of the covenants that are in the Bible. And we're going to see in my list here 8 covenants, and we'll look at them. These covenants, they really span from the time of God's creation of man, through the fall, through the covenants of the Old Testament, all the ones that unfolded, until the covenant that comes through Christ, the new covenant, the New Testament. I guess, and I believe him with all my heart, that that little book, the New Testament, the new covenant, is the most powerful book in the world. Now, I know the whole Bible is, but the Old Testament itself is prophesying and preparing the ground for the New Testament, the New Covenant. And as we look through, I hope you will realize that although we're looking at historical covenants, things that happened really thousands of years ago, the Old Testament and the other covenants that happened before Christ, I want us to see that as Christians, we also have a choice whether we will press in to the new covenant or actually make of our Christianity a kind of Christianized old covenant. And that's one of the great warnings of the books of the New Testament, particularly Hebrews, which we're going to study in this course. Hebrews and Galatians are actually great warnings to the church, warnings but also appeals to the church, that there is a tremendous promise, or there are promises of God which will take us onto a level of life in the Spirit and life with Christ that are totally of a different order to anything found in the Old Testament. And when you realize this, you realize that the New Testament examines churches and temptations that come, the temptation for churches to settle for a lesser kind of Christianity than God intended. And one of the things you realize is that this truth of the covenants actually presents to us a choice to either have a deeper walk with God or a superficial walk with God. By this, I don't mean that sometimes we are superficial people. Some people are very serious, very committed, but they just don't know that there is a promise of a deeper walk with God. Now, the promise of the new covenant is the promise, if we could put it in a different way, of a deeper life. In fact, there are some movements that have taken that word. I remember a movement called the Deeper Life Movement. And I don't really know what they spoke of. In fact, I'm not sure they really understood what the new covenant is. But the point is, there is something coming through in the pages of the New Testament that show us a deeper way, a deeper life. There are promises. Now, I'm going to introduce this subject before we do the review. I'm going to introduce it really by turning you to a parable that Jesus told. This is in Matthew chapter 9, and this is where you can begin to see something of the comparison of the covenants. This is Matthew chapter 9, and I'm beginning here because really when we look at covenants, we have to realize that although we're going to have I've got eight covenants, we're going to look at these covenants in terms of understanding what the Bible is saying about covenants. But ultimately, we're going to realize that God has really a new covenant for us, an agreement, a covenant. Now, here we are in Matthew chapter 9, and here's Jesus. He gives two parables. Now, this is in chapter 9, it begins really in verse 14, this section. This is Matthew 9:14. Then the disciples of John the Baptist, came to Jesus saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast?" Interesting question. This was not just perceived, it was real. John Baptist taught his followers to fast, but Jesus obviously didn't. And the same is true later in Luke 8:11. They said, "Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Why don't you teach us to pray? Well, they're pointing out that although they were taught things about prayer, Jesus didn't actually teach his disciples prayer in the same way John did. John is the last prophet of another covenant. It's very interesting even to notice God's dealing with John. If I were a kind of manager of the New Testament, I would have had John to come into the leadership, perhaps even an apostle, of the new. I mean, he was a great man. Why didn't Jesus choose him as an apostle? Why, in fact, did God have him imprisoned? You may say, wait a minute, God have him imprisoned? Yes, I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that the devil can't do anything unless God allows it. I believe in man's free will, but I also believe that ultimately the world is under the control of God, not the devil. And not the control of two people either, battling it out. God is in control and certain things have happened, but God allows them. God allowed John Baptist to go into prison, and on the day he went into prison, Jesus started preaching. In all the Gospels, that's revealed. And then he had him beheaded. You think, wait a minute. Why not have him go forward for years and testify of everything he saw and knew and saw? And the answer is because God cut off the old and started anew. God wouldn't have mixture. Now, often today, what we have in our Christian ministry, I'm not condemning, and I'm not asking you to go and point fingers and try and find out what we're meaning here by looking, examining every ministry. But the truth is often,